Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your part Irish host for the Buckmaster Show, half Irish actually, on KJLL 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekday mornings from 9 to 10, then we re-air the program from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL The Jolt. The lineup for today's show includes the latest from the humanitarian group based here in Tucson known as No More Deaths. Then we'll talk with the Buckmaster Show science contributor David Levy about NASA's big rendezvous tomorrow with the planet closest to the sun, Mercury. And at the bottom of the hour, an update on what the Rio Nuevo Governing Board is doing to bring downtown Tucson back to life. Then we close out the show with a conversation with Tom Crosby, the two-time mayor of County Roscommon, Ireland. He's in town for a big St. Patrick's Day luncheon at the Manning House in downtown Tucson today. Our show is primarily an interview-driven talk show, but there is always room for your comments and questions. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. It is the start of that deadly time of the year in the southern Nevada or southern Arizona deserts as temperatures climb, making it treacherous for border crossers. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Jim Marks. Mr. Marks is a spokesman for the Tucson-based organization called No More Deaths. Mr. Marks is also a longtime volunteer with the organization that says its mission is to stop the ever-increasing criminalization and militarization plaguing the U.S.-Mexico borderlands and communities in Arizona and throughout the U.S. Jim Marks, thanks for being with us on the Buckmaster Show.
You're welcome, Bill. Thank you very much.
Tell me what No More Deaths is doing to prepare for this upcoming hot season, the very deadly time of year in the southern Arizona desert.
Well, the mission, Bill, the actual mission of No More Deaths is to end death and suffering in the desert, in the southern Arizona desert, along the Mexico-U.S. border. And so the preparation is actually ongoing. We are, as we speak, hosting a large number of college students who come in for what we call an alternative spring break. There are currently 60 students from colleges all over the country in the desert as we speak. They've been there since Sunday. They will come back tomorrow. But they are out there at several of our camps, what we call our mobile camps, and then one of our main camps just outside of Aravaca. And they assist in carrying water, putting water, food, and if it's cold in the wintertime particularly, we take blankets out as well. But right now it's water and food. And every day they go out on some of the established migrant trails that No More Deaths and others have discovered over the years. And in putting that water out, our intention is that we would save lives. And we have actually, over the years, heard from migrants whose lives have been spared, whose lives have been saved by that water being there. It's a drop in the bucket. If you've been out there, it's vast, vast territory. Vast territory.
Give us an overview, Mr. Marks, of the area that you cover with your organization. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, people have heard of Humane Borders. They have some water stations, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. What areas are you concentrating on?
Well, our particular area, if you were to look at a southern Arizona map, would be from I-19, from the actual border itself, I-19, up to Green Valley and west, and from the border itself over to Sasebe, from Nogales over to Sasebe, and then north through what would be Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge up to what would probably align with Green Valley, so and further north. But our particular region, it's 200 square miles. It's a vast region. And one of the things I would point out is that three border justice groups, Humane Borders, the Samaritans, No More Deaths, are all involved in trying to get water, you know, out to that region. We just do it a little bit differently. Humane Borders has its blue tanks with the blue flags, and they're stationary. Samaritans drives patrols looking for migrants in trouble and actually walk some of the trails. no more deaths, walked the trails carrying water and putting water out, water and food out.
But it's safe to say the mission is the same for all of the organizations to try to save lives.
We are very supportive of each other and each other's works. Yes, I would say that that's true.
Give us an overview on the situation as far as deaths in the desert. The Border Patrol operates on a fiscal year that goes October to October. So the last full 12-month fiscal year, I believe the second largest number of deaths recorded in the southern Arizona desert, 253. Now, we keep hearing that there are fewer migrants coming into southern Arizona. The Border Patrol says this is mainly due to the bad economy. Arrests actually have been down. But it's interesting, we're not seeing a correlation with fewer deaths.
That's it is interesting because, as a matter of fact, there are fewer crossers, but the deaths are up. And there's a number of reasons for that, we think. One is, of course, there's a great deal more enforcement on the border. The wall, if you've been down there, there's walls that are more difficult to cross, although by the Border Patrol's own admission, they're like a five-minute speed bump. They can be climbed over very, very easily. The biggest factor of all, we think, is that people are driven into harsher and harsher regions and areas. It takes anywhere from 3 to 5 days to cross the border and get to a destination point. There is no way that a human being can carry enough water during the hot season to make that trip. But the fact is they're pushed into very harsh areas, mountainous and desert, hot desert areas, and consequently, the deaths are up. In fact, this year, I just got this from Ed McCullough, who follows this for Pima County, Santa Cruz County, and there may be other counties involved in these statistics. But for February, there were 13 deaths, and to date, there have been 58 recorded deaths. Recovered human remains is the...
And this is the cooler season.
This is the cooler season.
So these would be people dying from the elements.
That's right. In the wintertime, a lot of people don't know this, but the desert gets very cold in the wintertime.
Well, and look at we had record-breaking cold here in Tucson. Two nights of 18 and 19 degrees. You can imagine how cold it must have been out there.
So, again, it takes its toll. This particular number, February's number, 13, recovered human remains, is 15% less than last year at this time, but that's kind of meaningless because the overall statistic is up 21%. And again, less people crossing, more deaths. And so consequently, we see ourselves as having to be out there to provide humanitarian aid.
It's 14 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Jim Marks is with us. He's a spokesman for the Tucson-based organization called No More Deaths. What is the latest thinking on the legality of the work that your organization does and Humane Borders? In effect, Samaritan efforts. What are the courts saying about that?
Well, if you remember, Bill, this got into the news when No More Deaths volunteers were cited, as well as Samaritan and Humane Border volunteers, were cited 2 years ago for carrying water on Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge. And so they were given citations for littering. And Dan Millis was the first one. He was a volunteer for No More Deaths. And his citation came just days after he found the remains of Joseline, the young lady from El Salvador who was found. He and a group found her body. And so he was very, very upset and was more determined than ever to get water out there. So he was cited. Walt Staten was cited. And they went to court. And 13 others were cited because we decided as a group to take action and just bring this thing to a head. But when Walt and Dan went to court, they were both found guilty. And they appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the panel of judges there determined that there was no substance to the guilty charge, so it was thrown out. And so we, because we see this as a humanitarian crisis in the desert, we believe that we not only have the right, but we have the responsibility to be out there providing humanitarian aid. We see our own government as in violation of international law and the violation of international human rights by our current border policy, which is, as we see it, deterrence by death, namely to funnel people into these harsh areas of the desert is almost a death sentence. They're running a tremendous risk by being out there, and we just think that we have to keep calling this out.
We're quickly running out of time, Jim Marks, but I do want to bring up one of the big complaints that opponents of organizations like yours have is the trashing of private and state property. Do you see much evidence of this?
All over the place. It's impossible for migrants to to cross the border, to walk these trails, and not drop water bottles, not drop backpacks, clothes. In fact, Bill, I was just out there last week with a group from World College, which is in Montezuma, New Mexico, near Las Vegas, New Mexico. Wonderful group of young people came in. We got a permit from Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge and said to them, we want to help, pick up the personal belongings, trash, quote-unquote. We carried out 70 large trash bags in 2 days. I've never seen a group work harder. And yes, there is quote-unquote, trash, personal belongings. But in the bigger picture, the desert environment is much more environmentally affected by the wall, by the border patrols trafficking over delicate desert soil. This issue of migrants crossing and leaving what they call trash is stuff that will in time be picked up and will in time be, taken care of. Our bigger issue is really with a border policy that is causing death and continuation thereof.
It's 18 minutes past the hour. We want to thank Jim Marks from Tucson-based No More Deaths for being with us. Mr. Marks, thanks for being with us. And if folks would like more information, nomoredeaths.org.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Minutes past the hour on this St. Patrick's Day. I am Bill Buckmaster on the Buckmaster Show. Planetary scientists very excited. Tomorrow they'll finally get their first extended look at Mercury after a trip of 6.5 years through the inner solar system. NASA's Messenger spacecraft will finally pull into orbit around Mercury tomorrow for a stay of up to a year. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, and now head and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Foundation. David Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He has discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David, good to talk with you on this St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, too.
Thank you, David.
I'm surprised we're not flying to Ireland together.
David, as you know, this is a big deal, the Mercury mission. Some 48 scientists are involved in this, including some from the UA Lunar and Planetary Laboratory, and five from the Planetary Science Institute, Tucson's own nonprofit organization, and of which you are a board member, and
yes.
I am a supporter. So this is a big deal, isn't it, the Mercury mission?
Yeah, it is, and I think to all these people locally that are part of Mercury Messenger, we have to add the name of Clark Chapman, who got his start here in Tucson, who still uses a 10-inch telescope, and who is one of my closest friends. He was the one who used that 10-inch telescope to see the spots on Jupiter back in 1994, and he wrote a very famous email. He said, "These are the most discreet markings ever seen on Jupiter since Galileo looked at the planet in 1610. I'll never forget that, and he is definitely a dear friend of mine. And starting tomorrow, we're going to be learning some very special things about Mercury.
David Levy, tell us what we expect to learn about Mercury.
Well, if I told you what we expected to learn, then we wouldn't need to bother going there. We're going to find out about what it looks like. We're going to be taking photographs of virtually 100% of the planet, and it'll be by far our clearest look yet at the messenger of the planets. But I think one of the things that your listeners might be most interested in is that right now is the best time to look at Mercury. If you go out tonight, shortly, well, just into twilight, you will see Jupiter and Mercury very close together. So this is what I'd like your listeners to do tonight after sunset, so about 6:15, 6:30, to go outside, look at the bright planet Jupiter, and see little Mercury right next to it.
And then just think of that messenger spacecraft arriving there.
It's going to remind us of not just astronomy, but the relationship that our Sharing the Sky Foundation points out, that astronomy relates to other things, everything else we do in life. It relates to literature, relates to music, and it also relates to politics, of course, not just the difficulties in funding these missions, but in also the inspiration that we get from politicians sometimes. John Kennedy made it our nation's goal to get to the moon before the end of the 60s, and in 1859, Senator Carl Schurz, giving a lecture at the at Faneuil Hall in Boston on April the 18th, he gave the best definition I've ever seen of what a star is. He said, a star is an ideal, and ideals are like stars. You will not succeed in touching them with your hands, but like the seafaring man on the desert of waters, you choose them as your guides, and following them, you will reach your destiny.
David Levy is with us on the Buckmaster Show, Sharing the Sky, speaking of looking to the sky and the stars, your annual star party. I believe this is coming up May 7th.
Yeah, May 7th is our annual star party. It is a fundraiser star party, partly designed to raise some funds so that we can really go out and inspire people, especially the next generation, to look at the night sky. We're going to have upwards of 40 telescopes on the University of Arizona Mall. They will be looking at the sun during the afternoon of May the 7th, and then as the sun sets, they will be turning to the objects in the night sky. For example, Saturn will be up then, and we'll be looking at Saturn. We'll be looking at the moon. We will also be looking at other interesting deep sky objects, denizens of the deep sky, double stars, the Orion Nebula, which is nature's greatest star-forming region, and all kinds of exciting things. And we invite all of your listeners to come to the mall on May the 7th from 3 till 10 p.m.
Okay, David, we're quickly running out of time, unfortunately. Space shuttles will be retired this year with just two more missions to go, including the mission next month commanded by Congresswoman Gabby Gifford's husband, Mark Kelly, and we're hoping that Gabby will be there to watch it.
Yeah, I hope so. I think she's... It was so much fun to listen to Mark's press conference when he was trying his best to be circumspect about how Gabby was doing. But then the question was, do you think that she'll be able to attend the launch? And Mark said, you bet. She's going to be there, and she'll be there with bells on, and she's going to hopefully watch my final liftoff.
David, how is your observing going?
I just finished a very successful month of observing. We now have 11 cameras running out in our backyard simultaneously,
wow,
all automatically.
Well,
only one comet seen with them, but hope to get more.
Give my love to Wendy, your lovely wife, and to Beagle the dog.
Thank you, and Wendy sends her regards too.
Bye, David. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Local talk at its best.
Up next, you won't believe what's going to happen.
This is Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Massive amounts of water are being poured on the number 3 reactor at the Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan. Officials are trying to prevent a meltdown that could be disastrous. Nuclear engineer Arnie Gunderson tells us what the risk is for crews who are trying to bring the situation under control.
It's not that they're on a suicide mission and will die immediately, but in the remainder of their life, they've increased the likelihood of cancer by a lot.
The Pentagon says it's sending a 9-member team that specializes in nuclear hazards to Japan. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's troops might be getting ready for an all-out attack on Benghazi. It's still under the control of opposition forces. You might pay more when you use an ATM that's out of network. J.P. Morgan Chase is trying out a $5 fee in Illinois, and other banks might try something similar. A rally on Wall Street today. The Dow's up more than 150 points. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Need cash? Sell unwanted gold and diamond jewelry to Empire Diamond. Call 1-800-728-3425. In the Empire State Building since 1931 and a reputable Better Business Bureau member, Empire is paying the highest prices ever. The time to sell is now. Empire Diamond offers the highest cash prices without any pressure. Don't wait for gold prices to drop. Call 1-800-728-3425. That's 1-800-728-3425. Or visit EmpireDiamond.com.
How's it going? My name's Eric, and I work at Lowe's. Spring is here. Time to make a fresh start. And what better place to start than your home? Stop by Lowe's and check out our huge selection of appliances. And right now, take 15% off Energy Star or 10% off other major appliances priced $397 and up. Or maybe it's time for a fresh coat of paint. Now get $5 back via mail-in rebate on our Valspar Signature Paint.
Experience. Lowe's. Let's build something together. Offer valid now through 3/21/11. Some restrictions may apply. See store for details. Valid in U.S. only.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the 3rd Annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
It's 35 minutes past the hour on this St. Patrick's Day. Born in Dublin, Rick Grinnell is with us. Mr. Grinnell is one of the members of the Rio Nuevo Board. The board is currently suing the city of Tucson and developer Don Bourne, seeking to get the prime real estate downtown that Mr. Bourne got for $100 returned to the taxpayers. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Rick Grinnell.
Same to you and all your audience. God bless.
Tell me a little bit about what the board, what is the board thinking at this point in this suit?
Well, one of the issues that we have to contend with is, number one, is figure out the dynamic of what we're working with here. The city, acting as the managing partner for the board during this tenure of the Bourne situation, basically opted to give the land at $100, and the original concept was to build housing, some kind of tenant and, you know, upscale housing downtown. And according to the state legislature, in the legislation of Rio Nuevo, theoretically that was outside the boundaries of the availability of TIF revenues and resources. So with the board,
the tax increment financing, yeah,
right, any asset that was acquired as a result of TIF or any efforts spent on behalf of TIF have to be used to generate additional TIF.
And that was a deal that Mr. Bourne made with the city of Tucson really almost 7 years ago.
Correct.
So acquiring the land on East Congress Street for $100, and the taxpayers then spent $900,000 tearing down a nearly 100-year-old building there to make way for his development. But the development never happened, did it?
The development never happened. The building itself that they tore down was really in a rough shape. It's not like it was a historical preserved piece of property. So, yeah, we can debate whether or not we should have preserved it or whatever. The tearing down of the land to build the property, to build the residential opportunities, that's where the first mistake was made as far as the district is concerned, legally, from what we can interpret. The second part of the issue was is the district had to enjoin the city in this lawsuit because the city was very much a part of it. And the district would, if Mr. Bourne were to prevail in some kind of financial agreement, the district would absorb, so we had needed to enjoin the city. Having said all that, he's come to the plan with a couple different times. I believe in 19 or 2007, he came to the city council and talked about building this little boutique hotel.
I remember that.
Everything sort of took a sideways. Obviously, the economy, the stress that was going on behind the scenes at Rio Nuevo, downtown development was. So everything got put on hold. And he still has a plan. And I think maybe what this can do for us, and now I can speak only for myself. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that this has become sort of the spur under the saddle, if you will, that gets us riding in the correct direction to get something built there. And so this lawsuit can actually be a blessing in disguise. The gift clause, according to Mr. Kromko, I'm not sure that has as much validity. And again, I'm not an attorney. I'll leave that argument to somebody else.
So this suit from the Rio Nuevo board really was a reaction to a suit originally filed by the taxpayer advocate John Kromko against the Rio Nuevo district and Mr. Bourne over the deal.
Correct.
So let's move on to the Rio Nuevo board. Right now, the board was originally created by the legislature to have 12 members. I think you're down to 8 or 9 members right now. Will you get up to that? What level are you think is going to be a comfort level here?
Well, eventually we're going to get back at the end, I believe, of April or May. The board will actually be, the final board will be 9 people. All those people will be appointed by either the governor, the House, or the Senate president, or the Speaker of the House. The 3 remaining members from the previous board will basically have termed out. The idea was to keep some synergy between the old board and the new board, and then allow this to operate for about a year, year and a half, and then to move forward for the new board. We've come a long way, and a lot of people are concerned because they say, well, what have we done?
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes up, Rick Grinnell. People say, what have you done? And of course, they look at all the money that the city spent $230 million in Rio Nuevo tax increment financing money downtown, and people keep saying there's so little to show for it.
And, you know, it's ironic because I'm looking at some various different projects, and if the actual bonding itself, the money spent, is, I believe, the whole total is like $156 million.
Okay.
The other expenses come in attorney's fees. They come in bonding, cost of bonding. They cost in the insurance. I mean, it's not just the bonds and some other expenditures. The board has worked tirelessly over the last year, and I came on in July 1st, I believe.
You were appointed by?
Senate President Burns back then.
Okay.
And so I've been just retained to fill that void. So we have gone through, we've went through the big audit if you will. People say it didn't do enough to identify some issues. But with that audit, the board also did a lot of homework and has been able to extrapolate a lot of information. We also went through now our own independent financial audit, which is required as an annual audit. That audit has brought Blight some new issues. And so when now we're in the process of hiring a financial management company to basically act as our treasurer. So we will be assuming our own checkbook. We'll be taking responsibility for all the finances. And the city will basically be divested from that particular effort.
I think people, Rick, are still confused about what the role is of the board and what is the role of the city in downtown development.
That's a great question, and you have to go way back to 1999. The original sports, the district, was originally set up as a stadium district. The TCC was assigned as the stadium.
Okay.
Legislatively speaking, the district should have been focusing on investing in the stadium and then the amenities required to sustain additional revenues to pay for all the other wish list.
But they got sidetracked with the wish list, right?
They started doing the wish list, which is basically half done, and they basically have left a lot of projects undone. And so what we've done is basically put the cart before the horse. I mean, this is a perfect example. And so what the district is now trying to do, identify all the assets, take all the revenues we have, look at the resources, look at potential projects coming up, because we do going to have additional revenues coming in.
You're kind of cleaning up a mess.
We're
aren't
cleaning
you?
Up a major production here, okay? And you know, and people say, well, criminally, I don't know if criminally. I think sometimes ignorance is not against the law.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I'm really trying to, and I think the, what is the role of the city? And I wish the city would understand the district has the expertise as far as development to work with development, and let the city be the backstop in the foundation, the roads. We have $700 million of unfunded infrastructure for downtown.
So let the board handle the development, let the city handle the infrastructure.
Thank you.
And meanwhile, the private enterprise continues to thrive. I mean, we're hearing wonderful things about private business, restaurants opening downtown. Things are starting to happen.
They're starting to happen. And I think what's happening is I think the perfect example of private investment does lead the economic resurgence of a community. Government is always or should always be the supporting role, not the leading role. And I think the dynamic has finally coming to the community's light and finally maybe coming to the city council's light. That guess what? We don't belong in the development business. At least I hope that's what they say. You know, right?
Right decision not to do the hotel?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was just a financial, it was a mess.
We've got about a minute left to go. Yeah. I know you'll be interested in our next guest, who is the two-time mayor of County Roscommon. You were adopted.
I was adopted.
Tell us the story. Got about a minute left.
Okay, I was in an orphanage in Dublin with my oldest friend, Tony. And his parents adopted him, and then shortly after that, my parents adopted me out of the orphanage in Dublin. We were both around two or so. And my mom is local here, raised in Tucson. And I grew up in two cultures, the Mexican culture of my mom's family and the more Anglo culture of my dad's family. Everybody talks about the differences, and actually there was a lot more similarities. The values, the disciplines, the respect, the work ethic, and the responsibility. So as much as we want to try to separate ourselves, we're really not that different. We're pretty much all the same. It's just, you know, it's a little bit of a different. I think one man told me one time, the only thing that makes you different for me is our blood type.
There you go.
And so with that, I wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you for having me on your show.
Rick Grinnell, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, my friend.
Thanks.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of 5 major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Canada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It is 49 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show on this St. Patrick's Day, the day when everyone in America is a bit Irish. Of course, some of us are more Irish than others. That includes our next guest on this St. Patrick's Day. Tom Crosby has been a member of the Roscommon County Council in Ireland for more than 21 years. He has served as mayor twice in the past 10 years. Mayor Crosby is in Tucson for today's St. Patrick's Day luncheon at the Manning House in downtown Tucson. Roscommon, Ireland is one of Tucson's sister cities because of the Irish connection to the founding of the Tucson Presidio in 1775 by Captain Hugo O'Connor, a native of County Roscommon, who was at the time under the commission to the Spanish crown. Mayor Crosby, it's good to see you again.
Well, thank you very much.
Welcome back to Tucson. I know when you were here before and when I was on the television show, we interviewed you a couple of times. Things have gotten a lot worse over in Ireland with the economy really deteriorating.
Yes, it's back in 2006 when I had the great pleasure of visiting your beautiful city here in Tucson. And back then, we were Ireland was growing at a rate of between up to 10% per annum. And little did we know that we would be faced with, well, I suppose initially the world financial meltdown had a crippling effect on a small economy like Ireland, with resulting now in immigration back to its 80s level. Property prices have fallen by up to 50%, and our economy really is in a bad state. But there are positives to that. We've just elected a new government there only about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you booted out the old government that's been in control for almost 100 years.
Indeed, I think.
I mean, what happened? Were people that upset?
Well, can I say, I was a member of the old government or the government party back about 15 years ago. And I left back then and I went independent. So maybe I was before my time in that respect. And
maybe you had an inkling of, exactly. of what was to come. But I guess folks had to have been really, really upset to kick out the old party.
Well, when you see it to the extent that they did it, they had, there's 166 members of the Dáil or Parliament. 80 of those would have been in the outgoing administration, and that number was brought back by the Irish people, by the electorate, and I suppose it shows that democracy really does work. That was reduced to 20 members, so they lost 75% of their membership, and as you rightly say, they domineered Irish politics since the foundation of our state back in 1921. So it was a huge correction by the Irish people, because they were very angry with the way our state, you know, had developed, especially in the last 3 or 4 years.
The high-tech economy, they called it the Celtic Tiger back in 2006 when we last visited. Things were looking so good with high technology around the Dublin area and around your area of West Ireland. There was a lot of interest in high-tech. A lot of those places vacant right now?
No, quite the contrary. Our exports, these are the positive sides. I don't want to paint a totally gloomy picture, because it is not at all gloomy. We have the structures are very much in place, and I know there's great confidence out there with the Irish people that we will turn the corner in a relatively short time. We're probably talking about 2 or 3 or 4 years. But you mentioned about the high-tech industries such as... we have the European headquarters of companies such as Microsoft, Intel, pharmaceutical companies. Google have their headquarters in Ireland. And the confidence will say that the likes of Google has shown they have purchased a building. They've paid in excess of $100 million for the building. They're there. So they're there for the long haul. They have great confidence in the Irish people. And we have a great debt to pay to the people of America for the commitment that they have shown to Ireland over the years. And indeed, it's that commitment, I think, that has helped us through. And I'd just like to take this opportunity in saying, in relation to the Irish peace process, that wouldn't have happened. We know it wouldn't have happened without the commitment of the American people, and we owe a great debt in that regard.
Coming up on 54 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, Mayor Tom Crosby. He's the two-time mayor of County Roscommon, Tucson's sister city. And of course, when you talk of Roscommon, you talk of the O'Connor family. Still the relatives of Hugo O'Connor, the founder of the Tucson Presidio, still active in your neck of the woods.
Yes, indeed. The old stately home belonging to the O'Connor Don, which has a huge history in Ireland, former kings of Connacht and Ireland. So they have, and Hugo O'Connor, as you pointed out at the outset, Hugo O'Connor founded this great city here in Tucson, and that's back in 1775.
Yes.
And that's where the relationship, and that's how we have become sister cities, Roscommon and Tucson. And I'd have to take this opportunity in complimenting and paying great tribute to the Sister Cities Committee here in Tucson. We have former Irishman Pat Lavin, who was a chairperson of the committee. Indeed, there are a number of others, Dan Kavanagh, who all visited Ireland, Colleen Kelly, Meg O'Neill, I could go on, sorry.
Well,
we have a very
vibrant Irish community, there's no doubt about it here. How has tourism held up? And I know in your part of Ireland, the West, you would like people to fly perhaps into Shannon instead of Dublin. People say, well, they've been to Ireland. They say, well, where did you go? Well, I went to Dublin. They don't They haven't seen the West, have they?
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to say that tourism now, it did take a serious dip, but it's certainly on the way back. Even figures last year now have shown that American visitors and European and members now from the people from the UK are all beginning to come back to Ireland. I'd like to just mention, we have an airport right in the centre of the west of Ireland, which gives a connection with any part of the west within 1 hour drive. That's the maximum. And that's Knock Airport, the famous Knock Airport.
Yes.
And that's right in the sense. So people visiting Ireland, there is a great opportunity to come right into the heart of the West. And Roscommon is only less, parts of Roscommon is less than 15, 20 minutes from Knock Airport.
There's a famous religious shrine there, Our Lady of Knock. That's spelled K-N-O-C-K. Okay.
That's right. Our Lady of Knock appeared there back in the last century, and it's a great place. It's pilgrims come from all over the world to visit Knock. So it's right, as I say, in the centre of the west of Ireland, and tourism, I think we have a great opportunity. The Queen of England is coming to visit our country in later this year.
That will be a historic visit, won't it?
It certainly will. That's the first time since the foundation of the state that an official visit from the monarch has visited Ireland. So it's certainly going to be a big boost for tourism, because I was involved in tourism myself, and I was a member of Fáilte Ireland, the board of Fáilte Ireland, and I know that the visitors from the UK would be less than 8% of the population. So I think this is an opportunity now for us to. And just before I wind up, I would like to extend the sincere sympathy from the people of Roscommon, indeed from the people of Ireland, to the sad tragedy that you had here, the shooting tragedy.
Yes, January 8th shooting.
We adjourned our county meeting in respect of that back last month, and we wish the people that were injured a speedy recovery, and your congressperson
Gabrielle Giffords.
The news is wonderful on
Congresswoman Giffords. Continues to make great progress, which is really terrific
news. We keep in touch with the committee on that, and Pat Lavin and others keep us informed. Dan Kavanagh.
Before we wrap up, Mayor Crosby, tell us about St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. It's From what I understand, it's not that big a deal. Is that true?
Well, no, I wouldn't accept that's not.
Okay.
It's in Dublin now. It's a huge event, and there are people from all over the world that come to Dublin for the parade, and it's quite a big one. In the other towns, like close to where I live, in a town, Elphin, that there's a parade also in along the River Shannon, which is one of the longest rivers in Europe, and a place that's we'd encourage people to come and visit. But there are parades in the different towns and villages. But it's certainly, when you see what happens here in the States, it's phenomenal, and it's a great credit to the people never forgot their roots back home. And I think that's something that we have a big debt.
Well, my mom, bless her heart, Regan, R-E-G-A-N, was a first-generation American from Ireland, so I feel very strongly about Ireland. Mayor Crosby, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for giving us the opportunity, and we really appreciate it. We look forward. We're having the luncheon
at the Manning House today.
And Mayor Walkup, the mayor of the city, is attending.
Thank you so much, Mayor Crosby. Stay with us just a second here. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. And that will wrap it up on this St. Patrick's Day. Thank you very much for being with us. Tomorrow it's the Friday Focus and the Friday Radio Roundtable. Have a great day.
Tucson's Jolt.
Tucson's Jolt.
KJLL, South Tucson.